They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A briefing you might want to hear from someone who follows the Greece debt negotiations very closely. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. With Europe's bailout for Greece running out and time running out for keeping Greece solvent, deadlines come and deadlines go with no resolution yet. Creditors set their latest ultimatum at 2 hours ago for Greece to present an acceptable plan for economic reform, yet the creditors are still waiting. Nicholas Spiro is managing director of Spiro Sovereign Strategy, a consultancy that focuses on risk that countries pay or can't pay their government debt. Mr. Spiro, good morning.
Good morning.
So we have intense negotiations here between Greece and the European Commission and the wider EU. A new deadline has just passed. The EU is talking of handing Greece some kind of take it or leave it last proposal. Do you think this gets resolved?
When it comes to the Eurozone, and in particular when it comes to Greece, nothing gets done until the 11th hour. And even then, it's not even clear that there is going to be a deal. Having said that, there is an inescapable feeling right now that what is being demanded of Greece is not only politically and economically undoable, but that the creditors know this. So there's all sorts of conspiracy theories flying about, one which I think certainly has more credibility than others, is that one has to really wonder if the deal which is being put to Greece is in fact an attempt to undermine the government.
That's certainly a fascinating theory, hypothesis. The idea would be, look, Greece's parliament has to vote on this. If it's unacceptable, a lot of things could happen, but one possibility is that the Greek government falls in the coming days.
I think that is a very realistic possibility. Having said that, Mr. Tsipras still remains relatively popular. There is 70% plus support for the country's Eurozone membership. It looks like if he is forced to accept a take-it-or-leave-it deal, the Greek population would back him grudgingly. The question is whether his party would actually back him. This is a political nightmare for Mr. Tsipras. For the time being, it doesn't look as though he can pull it off. If pulling it off means, of course, signing a deal, gaining parliamentary approval for it, and then actually being able to even start to implement some of its main conditions.
Nicholas Spiro, Managing Director of Spiro Sovereign Strategy. It's a consultancy that focuses on sovereign debt. Mr. Spiro, thank you for this briefing.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Well, we do have the FT 100 in London up about 0.2%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, suggesting market players are still betting on a resolution in the Greek drama. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.4% range, with the 10-year bond yield down at 2.37%. Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. The Supreme Court could issue its opinion either today or in the coming days in the closely watched King v. Burwell case. This is a challenge to the federal health law that claims that subsidies should only go to people who bought insurance on state-run exchanges. If the court rules against the Obama administration, people in states using the federal insurance marketplace could lose their subsidies. This would cause convulsions in the healthcare system, and we'll examine just one piece of that this morning, something in Connecticut that could serve as a way forward. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Connecticut succeeded in launching its own insurance marketplace or exchange that works. Now Connecticut is getting calls from states on the federal exchange who might want to use Connecticut's software if they have to set up their own marketplaces.
Probably gotten over a dozen calls from other states.
Jim Wadley is CEO of the Connecticut Exchange. He says 90 to 95% of the calls were from Republican red states. Wadley won't say which ones.
Because it would create quite a political maelstrom that I'm trying to stay out of.
Wadley sends interested states to Carolyn Quatrochi for a reference. Quatrochi is executive director of Maryland's Exchange, which started using Connecticut software last year.
It's really worked tremendously well.
Maryland switched to Connecticut software after Maryland's own exchange bombed. Tales of its troubles led local newscasts.
Months after the rollout of Maryland's troubled health exchange, a federal investigation has been launched.
Technical slowdowns continue to make tens of thousands of people wait in line.
Quatrochi says it's smooth sailing with Connecticut software. She shows me around the exchange's quietly humming Baltimore office.
And then down the hall here you have the marketing and outreach team.
Quatrochi says Maryland got Connecticut software for free because it was developed with federal money. Since then, Connecticut has paid to create new products that it can sell, like a mobile app. Will Quatrochi buy that?
We're not at the point of getting a mobile app yet.
Quatrochi says when they are ready, they'll look for the best deal, as would other states, according to Sabrina Corlett, a senior research fellow at Georgetown's Center on Health Insurance Reforms.
I think it becomes a purely financial question of what kind of IT system to use.
Corlett says Connecticut has a very good reputation, but it will have to compete with private companies offering their own exchange blueprints, just in case the Supreme Court ruling sends states scrambling to set up their own insurance marketplaces. In Baltimore, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And passengers in France are having a tough time this morning trying to get to Charles de Gaulle and Orly airports. It's not the planes, it's the ground transportation. Taxis are trying to block access to airports and train stations as part of a nationwide strike. Dégage Uber, read some of the protest signs. That means get rid of Uber. The car service based in California is in the crosshairs. Taxi companies and drivers in France say they have to get chauffeurs' licenses. How come some Uber drivers don't have them? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.